So we're going to talk about the Bris Bein HaBesarim, which is a theme throughout the Haggadah, the covenant between the pieces. We'll hear all about what these pieces are, why it's a covenant, what Hashem was telling Avram, what it all symbolizes, what the message is. So right leading up to that, Avram Avinu had, in the previous parak, defeated a bunch of kings. There was a big world war going on in that region of the world, 4 kings against 5 kings. Lot was captured. Avram and Eliezer and his helpers all recovered the people of Sodom. It was incredible, Kiddush Hashem. And after all that was over, this is where this parak really begins. The psukim that lead up to it, I'm going to read you now. Hashem tells him to count the stars, and so will be your children. And he believed in Hashem. The pasuk says he had trust and he believed in Hashem, and Hashem considered it about Avram Avinu righteous. This was a beautiful thing. Avram Avinu was a tremendous believer in Hashem, and whatever Hashem wanted, he was ready to jump and do, no matter what personal sacrifices. After all, he had no idea he was going to win that war. It was the right thing to do to save his nephew. He put his life at risk, and he ended up making a tremendous Kiddush Hashem by winning. Now, after all that happened, and the Pasuk had just testified about him, about his great belief, so Pasuk Zion says, Hashem continues, after Hashem considers Avram Avinu a tzaddik. So now Hashem tells Avram, Vayomer Elov, Ani Hashem, I'm God, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'ur Kastim, that I've taken you out from Ur Kastim. And apparently leaving Ur Kastim, we know from our Mesorah, the Midrashim tell us it was miraculous. Avram Avinu was thrown into a fiery furnace by Nimrod. So it was miraculous that you got out. L'ses l'cha es ha'aretz hazos l'rishta, to give you this land as an inheritance, to inherit it. And Hashem gets a funny response by Avram Avinu, which some of Farshim want to say is a problem with Avram's Amunah. Vayomar, and Avram Avinu responds back to this promise. Hashem Elokim, Bama Eda Ki Roshena, with what will I know that I'm going to inherit it? Well, Hirsch doesn't like that idea of assuming that this is a lack of Emunah. There are Mefarshim that say this. And a simple reason is because we just finished literally hearing the pasuk that preceded this, that Vehemin Bahashem, he had tremendous Emunah in Hashem. I mean, literally the line before this. And Hashem considered Avram and everything about his Emunah righteous and good. So literally the next second, when he's told he's going to have children, so that he believes. When he's told he's going to have the land, and by the way, this wasn't the first time he's promised the land, now he has doubts. So, those who want to say that have a whole explanation. You can look at the Meshech Chachma, the Ramban, they all have the whole Brisbane of Assam is a different message based on understanding that Avram's question was a lack of doubt. That is not how Hashem Shmuel Hirsch understands Avram's question at all. Rather, he says, if you look at the other places where Hashem told Avram Avinu that he was going to give him the land, he didn't add this one extra word, that l'rishta, that you're going to take possession of it. He was told before that he's going to get the land. L'ses l'chad says, l'cho etenenu l'zaracha ad olam. That's a pasuk before, Perek Yud Gimel. It also says in Perek Zayin, l'ses l'chas l'aretz hazos. But here it says l'rishta, to inherit it. I'm sorry, before it says l'zaracha etenes aretz hazos. Here it says l'ses l'chas aretz hazos l'rishta, to take possession of it. So here Avraham Avinu was thinking to himself, oh wow, now you need me to participate in this, to take possession of it. So I must have to do something here. So you want me to, just like I finished waging a war against the four kings, who conquered Sodom, now you want me to go do battle and conquer the land. Okay. So now he's asking Hashem. This is actually a sign of his Emunah. Okay, I'm ready to do that. After all, he's just called Hashem, Hashem Elokim, my master, Elokim, the one's in charge of everything. I'm ready at your service. But Mo'eda, he was asking Hashem, how will I know that I'm supposed to take possession? In other words, tell me the sign. How will I know the time has come? for me to do this? Give me a simon. When should I do this? How will I know it's time to jump to battle? And Hashem's answer is going to be, as you'll see, you don't get to do that. That's not going to be for you. That's going to happen at a future time. When I was telling you, you're going to take possession of the land, it means your descendants will have that. But there's going to be a period of generations leading up to that. That's Hashem's answer. As far as you, you're going to die in peace. You'll have a fine life. It'll be good. But that's not your job to conquer this land. So let's read the psukim and see how Hashem tells him all that. And there's a lot of symbolism in that response. So Vayomer Elov, so Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, Gecholi Egla Mishuleshes, take from me three times a female calf. I mean, three of them. Yeis Mishuleshes, three times a goat. Ba'ayel Mishulesh, and three times a ram. Besar, and a turtle dove, it's a young dove. Vigozol. Sar is the older one. Vigozol, and a young pigeon. So we got three animals. Again, we got a calf, we got a goat, we got a ram, and three of them. And Hirsch understands it's not just three, but the way it's structured in the grammar, he's saying it's a set. So that's three sets. Whether they're lined up as sets or not, it doesn't really matter for what we're going to interpret this to mean. But it's going to be symbolizing three generations. And each generation consists of what's represented by a calf, a goat, and a ram, and one older bird and a younger bird. Okay. Vayikachlo eskolela. So he took all of these. Avraham Avinu took all of these. Vayivater osan batovech. Rashi understands this to mean Hashem did this, not Avram. What happened exactly? I don't know. The pasuk doesn't say. Did a lightning bolt come down from the sky and slice them down the middle? I don't know. But it means, and he, meaning Hashem, cut them in the middle. They were chopped in half, all these animals, right down, right in their center. So you have the front half of the animal and the back half of the animal. Vayitein, ish bisro, so placing each half opposite the corresponding one, lekras reyehu, opposite the corresponding half, v'yasat tzipor lo vasar.
I'm sorry. You said the front half and back half. Isn't that left side, right side?
No. The front, you got the front half and then the back half. Not like down the center where you have the right side and the left side. No, literally the front half, the back half. That's how I understand it. That's what the picture books show for the kids. And, that's how I understood it. You understood down the center, that it's in the middle of the head?
That's what I always thought.
Well, okay, now we have to do some homework. We'll do some homework over the next few days, and you tell me what you find.
Sure.
That's in my imagery. I never thought of it that way, and that's not how the picture books ever talk about it, so now I got to think. Okay. But the birds, he didn't cut. They were left completely intact. By Yerid Ha'ayit Al HaPigorim, birds of prey, vultures or whatever, came down on these carcasses, ready to attack. By Yashev Osam Avram. And Avram drove them away. This is where Hirsch points it out. That's why he thinks that, and he's pretty clear about this, that this is his proof that the last part of the previous pasuk, who did the cutting? It wasn't Avram. We only hear about Avram doing something here in this pasuk. Avram chased away the vultures. But in the previous pasuk, it wasn't Avram doing something. So it must be Hashem doing the cutting. And it must have been the results of the way it was cut. It was like, I don't know, some blast or something, and they were, by the force of the cutting, they were pulled apart, each part opposite the other. But the birds of prey came to attack these animals, and Avram didn't allow those birds of prey to do anything to them. Vayihi Hashem Ashlavo, and the sun was about to set, v'sardema nafla al Avram, a deep sleep fell upon Avram. V'hinei, behold, Ema chashecha gedola nofel asalav. Behold, a dread, a great darkness fell upon him. Some deep, heavy sleep and some sort of a painful fear came upon Avram. That's part one of Bris Ben Besarim. We got these animals that were cut down the middle. The birds were left alone. We have vultures trying to destroy them. Avraham Avinu pushes them away. And Avraham Avinu falls into a deep sleep, and he has nevuah at this point. And Hashem now explains what all of that meant. Vayomer Avraham, and he says to Avraham, Yodoa teda, you shall surely know. Ki ger, there are three components now in this pasuk. This is the key to everything, this pasuk. Ki ger yihyeh zaracha be'eretz lo lehem. That's part one. That your children, your descendants, will be a stranger in a land that's not theirs. That's part one. Va'avadum, that's part two. They will serve them, they'll be slaves. And part three, vi'inu osam, and they will torment them. They'll cause great personal suffering. There are three components, just like there were three kinds of animals other than the birds. You'll see in a minute what the parallel is all about. Arba meos shana. This whole process will be a 400-year process. According to our Mesorah, it really begins before they get to Mitzrayim. It begins with the birth of Yitzchak. Because the land that's not theirs is even Eretz Canaan, because it wasn't given to them yet. Avraham Avinu wanted to know, how do I take possession? He was told, you don't get to take possession. It's not yours yet. At the end of this whole long process, it will one day be your descendants. So as soon as he has a child, and that child is not yet an owner, that's when the clock starts. And indeed, by the way, Chazal have taught us that he was informed that he would have a child exactly 1 year from the moment when the Malachim came, and exactly 1 year later he had that child that was Yitzchak, and exactly 400 years later, literally on that day, 400 years later, in the middle of the day, that's when we left Mitzrayim. 400 years exactly. In other words, on the 15th of Nisan, the year before, so 401 years before, that's when the Malachim came to visit Avram. It was Pesach. That's why he served the matzahs, etc. It was Pesach. The year before, Avram Avinu was keeping all the mitzvahs, even though there was no Pesach yet, etc. Okay, so there are three things that are going to happen in Mitzrayim. They're going to be non-citizens, they're going to be enslaved, and they're going to be cause terrible physical torture. And then, v'gamis agoya asher yavodu, and even the nation that they will serve, don anochi, I will judge. Meaning at the end, for overstepping their boundaries, for overdoing it in all of these three areas, this nation that's going to do this to them, they're going to get punished. V'achareichin, and after all of this whole episode, this whole trauma, yetzu berchush gadol, they're going to leave with a lot of property. V'atah, as far as you, when you asked me, Avram, when do I get to step up and wage battle? That's not your asek. That's not your business. You'll die. You'll meet your parents up in Shemayim in peace. You'll be buried in a good old age. But that's not your business to wage wars. You're not going to have to do that anymore. The Dor Ravi, the fourth generation, after all this, meaning the fourth generation of Mitzrayim, there'll be other generations, Yitzchak and Yaakov, before that. But the fourth generation, of having been in that country, Yoshuvah, they're going to come back. Because the sin of the people living here, currently the Amori, has not become complete. So everything has to fit. They have to deserve to be kicked out before your descendants can get the land. There's more to it than that. Your descendants also have to become matured and ready to be a complete nation dedicated to listen to Hashem. And that's going to mean completely at a loss of everything that these three animals represent. We'll soon get into that. And when the sun set, it became completely dark. It was, past tense, according to Hirsch, this is a fascinating little twist on it, it was a smoking furnace and a flaming torch that had passed between these pieces. I think he means to say here, from what I saw, that perhaps these pieces came back together. It had been that it had split them apart, but they came back together at the end of all of this. Bayomahu, which will mean a lot for what we're going to say. Bayomahu koras Hashem es Avram beris leimor. On that day, Hashem made this covenant with Avram saying, L'zarachonosati esoretz azos, to your children I give this land, mina har Mitzrayim ad har Nagadol, until the great river, Nahar Pras, the Euphrates. And it lists 10 countries, 10 nations, I should say. The truth is, when we conquered Eretz Yisrael, we only got 7. So this is telling us that at the end of days, there's going to be an expansion to the land of Eretz Yisrael initially promised Avraham Avinu that never happened yet. Because we got seven nations, not 10. But if you count them, you'll see there's 10 there. That's our Messiah, that's Pasuk and Sukkim in the Torah here telling us that we're going to get a much larger area that's going to be an expanded Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so now let's try to make sense out of what these animals are all about. Essentially, we got the core idea of what this Bris Medesarim is about. It's telling Avraham Avinu, you don't get to fight the battle, your descendants will. But why these animals? What do they represent? So these sets are the following. One was an egla. An egla, it's a large animal. Cattle, and Hirsch, by the way, has a lot more than I'm going to say on these pages. I recommend, if you really want to get into this is a great place to start hearing about Hirsch's symbolism about Carbonus. And he says so. He says that these animals that are all here are the only kosher animals we actually have in Carbonus. It's Dafka, these animals. And they all represent personalities and attributes, both of individual or the nation. But he pulls from it what's relevant to this message for here. So first of all, cattle represents the working animal, which toils in the service of its master. There are other kinds of animals, like a chamar, it's a beast of burden. That's not this. But this is, it does the jobs of its master. He has a bunch of psukim that he backs this up with. That's a fully developed animal that would be a par, and that represents whatever it represents in Carbonus. However, here we have a young animal, an egla. So the egla symbolizes energy still in its beginning or developing phases. So egla mishaleshes, three generations representing energy and its developing phases, right? The early stages of the nation, energetic and powerful, growing into what it needs to be. There's a component of a nation. To be a thriving nation, you need power and energy. Okay, but remember, here, it's Hashem cuts it down the middle. And Hashem is saying, what's going to happen now is that the energy of the people is going to be severed. But remember, the animals are still there. They don't disappear. They may be threatened. They may have a vulture coming to attack it. But in the Zchus of Avram, they're not going to be able to destroy them. Avram pushes them away. And they will ultimately be reunited at the end of this whole phase. But there's going to be these three generations where the energy is sapped. The other two animals, the A's. An A's is all sheep. Anything in its own category represents, just like we would think, the sheep listens to its master. Hashem is the shepherd, for sure. But there's more to it. When it comes to an A's, a goat is known to be strong and resistant, but it listens to its shepherd. What it's resistant to is anyone that tries to pull it away from its task. That's an A's. So a nation like Klal Yisrael, we're represented by the goat, meaning we're strong and we're resistant in order to heed our master's commands. We have this certain obstinacy that Klal Yisrael has, that nothing's going to pull us away from our mission. It's a certain intensity. However, that too is going to get broken. It's going to be cut down the middle by Hashem's decree. Hashem's the one who does this cutting. And that's going to happen also for these three generations. The ability to resist and to fight it is not going to be there. And third, we have the ayil. And the ayil represents like strength or wealth. Ele moav yochaze morad. An ayil, he says it's the more mature animal. It leads the flock because it's stronger, more developed. And just like people who are wealthy become the mayors and the fancy people, you get millionaires who become the governors and the presidents and stuff like that because they have the power. That's why Ele Moav, the important people of Moav, represent wealth and possession. So an ayil represents the wealthy individuals, wealth and power. And that too, our wealth and our power is going to get taken away from us, our independence. And Torvagozo, so they have, birds have no strength. A bird has no resistance. What can a bird do? All a bird can do is fly away. It's got freedom, and it's got its ability of flight. And the fact that there's the older and the younger, Hirsch says, symbolizes that the older generation always attempts to nurture the young, even though they have no power over all the afflictions and over all the tsaras that we get during our various exiles. But the older generation, in its frailty, attempts to foster in the next generation. We still have our freedom, our independence, our ability to believe what we believe, and to give that over to the next generation. The ability of flight doesn't mean to run away necessarily, but it's the freedom. And that you can't take away from us. So again, they're opposite each other, meaning during all these three generations, this was passed down. Avraham Avinu shared this message of the Bris Ben Avisarim to his descendants. And while they were going through this bitter time in Mitzrayim, they were told that we may be pulled apart. We may not have our independence. We may not have our strength. We may be suffering terribly. But one day it's all going to come back together. We still have our freedom, our deep spirit within us. The birds remained whole the whole time. And that was what gave them the hope that one day it's all going to get to where the promise really told them. So what does this have to do with what Hashem told us? Remember, I told you, the whole thing centers around this one pasuk of Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hashem told Avram, the interpretation of all this is three things. Number one, ki ger yihyeh zarecha ba'eretz lo lahem. They're going to be strangers in a land that's not theirs. And then v'avadum, and they'll serve them, they'll be servants. And then three, v'inu osam, and they'll make them suffer. So what does it have to do with these three ideas? So Hirsch says, it's the order doesn't match, and he has a reason for that, but it's the following. An ayil, a ram, like we said, represents wealth and independence. When they say, you don't really belong here, you're non-citizens, You have no right to be in this place. We have a right to tax you and give you tzaras. So that shows us where that stage began. We're not really deserving of being there. We're just strangers, and they feel, therefore, they have a right to start taxing us and pushing us around. The next is a little bit out of order, like I said. The egla, which is representing our energy, they took away our strength. That's being a slave, where they divert our strength to areas that we would have wanted to use it for, and they take it away from us, and they direct it to their uses. We have no ability to take our power and do anything with it. We don't have our power anymore. And then the A's, the animal which can resist, they broke down our ability to resist in any way, and that comes from deep affliction. That's inui. So all three ideas that were in these animals are said explicitly in the way that it was said. Why is the order changed? So Hirsch says the following about that. That Avraham Avinu was asking, how will I know when it's time for me to conquer? And Hashem said, no, you're not going to get conquering anything. So the first thing he was told in the narrative, just a second, in the verbal explanation, they follow the chronological order in which they'll occur, which is Gerus. This is how it's going to happen. First, you're going to be strangers in a land that's not yours, Avdos and Inui. The people will be strangers. Consequently, they will become slaves, and as a result, they'll suffer affliction. But the answer that was given in symbolic terms comes in direct response to Avram's question. That's the very first thing, which he assumed he's destined to. He thinks he's supposed to do something. So Hashem says back, the very first thing Hashem says is, no, you're not going to have that ability at all. So there Hashem says, he's decreeing Avdos, Inu, and Gerus on Avram's descendants. They won't have the power to act and conquer. So it's slightly changed, symbolically, directly talking back what they won't be able to do it. And then the other, the narrative is about the chronological order of things. That's how Hirsch wants to explain it.